Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that you can understand this message that I'm speaking because you are not envious. This is the very essential quality which is required to understand Krishna, that we are not envious. Similarly, Vrindavan Dham is none different than Shri Radha Krishna. They have expanded themselves in the sacred Dham. We can only understand this holy place to the degree we are not envious. Envy means to think oneself the proprietor, when actually Krishna is the sole proprietor of everything. To consider ourselves the enjoyer, when in truth Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all that exists. We have come to this very ancient holy place to begin our yatra. This is called Kaliya Ghat. It is the place that Lord Sri Krishna delivered the envious serpent Kaliya. It is described by Sri Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna, the gopas, and the cows, they came to this place, which was at that time a beautiful large lake just close to the Jamuna River. It's almost a lake now also. The gopas and the cows, they drank the water to refresh themselves of their thirst. Immediately, they all fell dead. The reason they were dead is the great demon, snake called Kaliya, was living in the bottom of this deep lake. And he was such an envious person that envy, according to your nature, those qualities surround yourself. So the whole lake was so deadly in the poison that nothing could possibly survive. In fact, even if a bird were to fly overhead, just the vapors of the lake were so deadly that the bird would fall down into the lake and die. There was no plants or trees that even could survive in this area. Krishna, who is the supreme merciful Lord of his devotees, he cast his loving glance upon the cows and the boys, and he came back to life. Similarly, we are all spiritually dead due to drinking the poison of material sense enjoyment. It is only when Krishna bestows his merciful glance upon us that we can again come back into spiritual life. Krishna wanted to rid the beautiful land of Vrindavan from this terrible serpent. He climbed upon this very same Kadamba tree that we are standing under. On this Kadamba tree, he tightened his belt like a wrestler. He waved his arms around, and then he jumped into the Kaliya Lake. The great acharyas explain that this Kadamba tree, how is it living if everything died? And there are two examples. One is that Krishna, when his lotus feet touched the tree, immediately it came back to life. And the other explanation is Garuda, knowing this pastime would take place in the past, put life-giving nectar on the tree so it did not die. Krishna jumped from this Kadamba tree into the lake. Although his body was very small and soft, so light that gopis could just pick him up and throw him around, when he came into the lake, it made such a splash, it overflowed on all sides. Kaliya, who was in the bottom of the lake, was utterly filled with rage. Who is this that's coming into my lake? He came out, he had over 1,000 hoofs. Of them, 101 were primary. He looked at Krishna with so much anger, his eyes were glowing red. He bit Krishna in the chest. Then he wrapped his coils around the beautiful form of Gopal. When the cow boys and the cows saw Krishna in this very, very dangerous situation, their life errors practically left them. Krishna remained in the coils of Kaliya for several hours. The cowherd boys and the cows were weeping and crying, falling on the ground, rolling in the dust of Vrindavan, their very life and soul. Krishna, who they considered only their beautiful friend, was in such a deadly situation. The news spread throughout Vrindavan, and soon Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj came. Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men, they wanted to jump in the Jamuna. They couldn't tolerate even living seeing Krishna in this situation. However, Sri Balaramji, who knows the transcendental power of his brother Krishna, he was smiling, and he stopped anyone from jumping in the river. Yashoda Mai, seeing Krishna in this situation, she would embrace Krishna with her arms, and she knew how soft and delicate Krishna's body was. To see Krishna being encircled by this gigantic, envious, demonic serpent was something she could not tolerate. She fell to the ground as a cow who had just lost her calf, weeping and crying. Krishna remained in this situation simply to increase the love of his devotees. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the object of everyone's love. There is no reason to live without service to Krishna. And this is the qualification that we must all have to understand what is Vrindavan. We should have no reason to live save and except the service and the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Krishna increased the ecstasy of the love of the devotees in this wonderful pastime to the extent that all the residents of Vrindavan were at the verge of death. Then Krishna performed a wonderful pastime. He expanded his body. Then he slipped out of the coils of Kaliya. Kaliya, very, very angry, he attacked Krishna with his various hoods. And Krishna was dancing in a circle around Kaliya. Kaliya was trying to bite him so much, but he couldn't catch Krishna. Krishna was going around and around in circles till Kaliya was so tired and dizzy. Then Krishna took with one of the hoods and pushed it down and jumped on top of that head of Kaliya. For the pleasure of all the devotees, Krishna began to dance. Srila Prabhupada explains, like a dramatic dancer, he was dancing so beautifully, so expert and artistic in every movement of his transcendental, all-attractive body. Krishna was dancing and dancing. The same lotus feet that when Krishna would go into the cowherd pastures, the gopis would weep and cry throughout the day, thinking Krishna's lotus feet are so soft that we are fearful that when we place his feet on the softest parts of our body, we may harm his feet because they are so soft. in the pastures of Vrindavan, he has to step on many stones and twigs and maybe even a thorn. In this way they would cry. For the devotees, Krishna's feet were softer than the petals of a rose. But for Kaliya, those same lotus feet were harder than thunderbolt. As he was gracefully dancing, Kaliya's head was being crushed with every step. It was crushing and crushing until blood and poison started pouring out of his mouth. Then Krishna would jump to the next head and dance. The Brijabasis were enthralled in ecstatic love to see Krishna's beautiful dance. Krishna danced on all of the heads of Kaliya. And actually, we are all like Kaliya. We all have this envy of Krishna. We all want to claim proprietorship over Krishna's property. And in this way, we inevitably cause harm to others, either with our mind, our words, or our body. In order to understand Krishna consciousness and awaken love for Krishna, all these poisons of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion has to come out of us. So all these poisons started pouring like vomit out of Kaliya's mouth. Sometimes when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should know, Prabhupada said, when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. And as he's dancing, all various types of poison start coming out of our consciousness. Some devotees have said that since I've been a devotee, I feel more lusty and angry and envious and greedy and proud, and I'm in more illusion than ever before in my life. This is a good sign. It's not that you are more. It's that all these poisons are coming out. But you just have to let Krishna continue dancing on your tongue by continuing this wonderful process of... Kaliya was at a state where he was on the verge of death. At this point, he became very humble, and he was in the mood of surrender. Then the wives of Kaliya, named the Nagapatnis, they came forward with folded hands and offered their prayers to Lord Krishna. They prayed that, how fortunate is our husband. Actually, we were hoping he would die, because we are your devotees, and he was making such an apparat to you. We were hoping you would kill him and he would die. But now we see that this envious, proud demon has become humble and surrendered. So now, my Lord, please, please give him your mercy. We are begging on his behalf. How fortunate he is. Even Brahma, Shiva, and the greatest of the demigods, they do tapasya for many long, long years. Rishis and sages do tapasya for lifetimes just to get the hope of the dust of your feet on their head. And you have been dancing with those same lotus feet on the heads of our husband. How fortunate he is. But now he is humble, he is surrendered, my Lord. Please be merciful to him. In this pastime, we understand that in our envious existence, we cannot get the mercy of Krishna by our own efforts or surrender. There must be the intervention of sincere devotees. When the great souls, the Vaishnavas, pray to Krishna on our behalf, then Krishna will naturally become very, very merciful to us. Therefore we pray with a very, very sincere and helpless heart to the lotus feet of the devotees. Bancha After hearing the prayers of Nagapatnis, Kaliya was listening very carefully, and he began to repeat basically the same prayers as them. He learned how to pray from his wives. So all of you wives should pray for your husbands also. And they should learn from you also. Kaliya surrendered his life to Krishna, that I am such an envious demon. I am so cruel and hard-hearted. I have caused so much pain to others. My Lord, out of your mercy, you have placed your feet on my head. Now please punish me or forgive me, whatever you like. I am surrendered to you. Please deal with me in any way you think fit. Krishna bestowed bhakti into the heart of Kaliya. Kaliya became great devotee. But Krishna told Kaliya, you should not stay in Vrindavan anymore. You should go to the ocean. The fear of Garuda that you have will no longer be, because Garuda will see my footprints on your head. He will honor and respect you. Previously in the same lake, Sobari Muni was performing tapasya, and Garuda used to come and eat fish prasad. You cannot do because you are not bird. But Garuda is bird. Certainly those fortunate fish would get good destinations. So Subhari Muni, he told Garudaji, actually what happened, Kaliya, what is this, Kaliya, he was also coming here, but Subhari Muni cursed Garuda, because he was trying to protect the fish. He said, Garuda, you cannot eat any more fish. And then Garuda ate. So he said, if you ever come here again, you will die. Now who was Sobari Muni to curse Garudaji? The Vaishnavas are so humble, he could have instantly counteracted that curse. But Garudaji honored it, and he left. And a little later on, Sobari Muni fell down. However great of an ascetic you are, however many austerities you can perform, however learned you are, if you offend Vaishnavas, you will fall down. There is no question. So Bari Muni was such an elevated personality. So Kaliya, he took refuge at this place because Garuda was, he fought against Garuda, and Garuda defeated him, so this was the place he knew was safe. Krishna told Kaliya, now you can go back to the ocean. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, didn't he say he was living near Fiji?
The villagers say there's some snake in the middle of Fiji in a big lake.
So Srila Prabhupada, one time he was en route on an airplane, and he stopped in Fiji just to change flights for a few minutes, and he met someone in the waiting lounge and preached to him, and that person became a devotee, and little later there was a Kaliya Krishna temple in Fiji. Krishna and his friends could come here and drink the water and play their wonderful pastimes without any fear. So this beautiful story took place at the very spot where we are now present. This is the very same Kadamba tree that witnessed this wonderful pastime. These trees are called the Vriksha trees. They will fulfill all our innermost heart's desires for Krishna consciousness if we pray at the lotus feet very sincerely. So before beginning our yatra, let us pray that by the mercy of Lord Krishna, through the chanting of his holy names and through the association of his devotees, our hearts can be free of this envious nature, so that the holy land of Vrindavan can be revealed to us. We are very fortunate. Today we are getting special mercy. So much nice blood. Actually, this is very... The demigods are longing to be in this mud. What is the mud? The dust of Vrindavan is so sacred. Uddhava, best friend of Krishna. He performed tapasya near Govardhan for a long time with the exclusive desire that he could become a blade of grass on the ground so the dust of the feet of the gopis would be on his head. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also both performed tapasya to get the dust of the feet of the devotees of Vrindavan on their heads. Akura, the great Kshatriya from Mathura, when he came on the mission of Kamsa to Vrindavan, the first thing he did is when he saw the footprints of Krishna Balaram on the ground, he rolled in the dust. And Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the way you come to Vrindavan. You cannot come to Vrindavan by buying ticket on Indian railways. Seeing Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. We must be in the mood of Akrura. We must come in a humble state of mind, rolling in the dust. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in his Shikshastam. He simply wants to be one atomic particle of dust in the feet of Lord Krishna. So how sacred is this dust? It is entirely. Srivas Thakur explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every grain of dust in Vrindavan is more precious than all the jewels and wealth of Vaikuntha. What to speak of the heavenly planets?
Just one grain is more valuable than all the Vaikunthas put together.
One grain is more valuable than all the Vaikunthas put together. Now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says there's three powerful substances. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water that washes the feet of the Vaishnavas, and the food of the goodness of the Vaishnavas. So when Vrindavan dust is mixed with water, and the devotees step in it, it becomes not only the dust, but the Charanamrita of the Vaishnavas. So we should not be thinking, oh, this is so dirty, what will happen to my nice sari? Or my white dhoti? Or my saffron dhoti? I just washed it this morning. We should not be in material consciousness. We should think this is the Charanamrit and the dust of Vrindavan mixed together by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar for our purification. We should, as we're walking through this mud, we should be in the proper consciousness that we are floating through nature. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Internal and internal existence. Vrindavan is actually non-different than the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan, the highest of all the Vaikuntha planets, has descended with all its opulences into this world as Gokul Vrindavan. However, there is a covering. And that covering is there to make sure materialistic people who have material conceptions of life cannot enter into the sweet mood of Krishna's divine transcendental abode in their consciousness. So as you're walking with your material eyes, you may see mud, you may see sewage, you may see stool and hogs and all sorts of unsanitary conditions. If you see Vrindavan in this vision, then you will be cheating yourself. When I was living here in 1971, I was living with one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers for some time, and there was a big scholar from Germany who was practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, from the time practically of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he wanted to finally come to Vrindavan. So he took an airplane from Frankfurt to Delhi. He took the Taj Express from Delhi to Mathura. He took a horse-drawn tanga from Mathura to Vrindavan. When he was on the outskirts of Vrindavan, he saw cow dung all over the street and people picking it up and putting it on baskets in their head. And he saw open sewers and he thought, how could I live in a place like this? He turned back to the station in Mathura, took the train to Delhi, and took a flight to Frankfurt. And he wrote a letter that I couldn't come to that place. How could I live in such an unsanitary situation? So if you want to see Vrindavan with material vision, like the deities, if you think the deity is made of stone, you will only see stone. Vrindavan is a murti. If we think Vrindavan is just a material place, you will see all these things. But the great devotees, they may see what you see with their eyes, but with their hearts, with their faith, they are seeing the transcendental, supremely pure abode of the Supreme Personality of God. With no hesitation to roll in the dust or bathe in the Jamuna. They never want to leave this place. So let us cultivate this consciousness while we are here. During this yatra, which is so special, there's about 750 of us. There's a few instructions I would like to share with you. One is no gossip, no talking. You left that in Bombay. While in Vrindavan, only speak the glories of Krishna. Only speak of how to serve the Vaishnavas and constantly chant the holy names. Without the mood of service to Vaishnavas, Krishna will not reveal Vrindavan Dham. We should not be in the mood of being served by Vaishnavas. We should be in the mood of service to Vaishnavas. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarvaravi Vaishnava. We will be here for 11 days, very auspicious number. Every moment of each day, let us utilize for the ultimate welfare of our spiritual lives. During the month of Kartik, this is a very, very special and sacred place to be. Any devotional service we perform in Vrindavan, Krishna said, 100 times the benefit of doing that same service anywhere else in the universe. However, with the benediction comes responsibility. Any offense you make in Vrindavan is held 100 times against more than anywhere else in the universe. And any devotional service or offense that is performed in the month of Kartik is hundreds of times greater than that. Very, very wonderful, precious opportunity. Whatever austerities may be there, be glad, happy, grateful. During our kirtans, let us put our life and soul into chanting and dancing. Having 750 some devotees cause a great inconvenience from a material point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, we can fill the universe with our combined energies while we are chanting the Holy Name. Go in the temples, we're going to be going to many temples. If everyone goes for Charanamrit, we'll have to go to sleep after the first temple. So what we have done is we have someone with a special sacred Charanamrit pot who will collect Charanamrit from each place, and during prasada will be distributed to everyone. Please do not keep devotees waiting. The fruit of our path to Vrindavan is getting the mercy of Shri Radha and Krishna. And it is the mood of service that attracts the mercy of Radha and Krishna. So in every way we should be in the mood of service. Attentive to hear during the katas, that will energize everyone else to be attentive to hear. Attentive to chant and dance is preaching loudly, come, join this kirtan. But being lazy is preaching, go to sleep. Kirtan isn't so good. So we want to be in a mood of service. We want to inspire each other. So we should not keep devotees waiting. We should keep up very nicely with the group. We'll be going from temple to temple. The next temple we'll go to will be Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Srila Sanatan Goswami. Here at Sri Kaliya Ghat, let us sincerely pray to Lord Krishna to free us from our envious nature to want to be the enjoyer, the controller. By his kind mercy, he can attract our hearts again to the loving service of his devotees and purify our hearts so that our lives will be pleasing to him. We'll all, I don't know how, but we will. We'll circumambulate the tree, the holy Kadamba tree. And we can pray very sincerely in this way as we're circumambulating the tree. Then we will go to Sri Madan Mohan Temple. This time let us pray for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki!
A couple of things he mentioned about the softness. First he mentioned about the softness of Krishna's body. And since we're here under this Kadamba tree, there's another very special tree, that's our Tamal tree in the temple room. Now Krishna's limbs are always described in Sanskrit like Pallava. And Pallava means freshly grown leaf. Now because the rainy season is still going on, you'll see many freshly grown leaves are still there on that tamal tree. And if you touch those leaves, you can get some idea of the softness of Krishna's limbs. I showed this to Ramapati Swami one time. Now he told me, now all of you I see wearing very, very beautiful tilak. So somebody taught you how to put that tilak on, isn't it? You know who taught Ramapati Swami how to put tilak on? His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada taught him. And Prabhupada took his lotus finger, and he put on the tilak, and then he took out the middle part like this. And while Ramapati Swami was feeling that tamal leaf, freshly grown tamal leaf, he said, Prabhupada's finger felt exactly like this. So if you want to know how soft, Maharaj is emphasizing softness, you feel one of those, that's the freshly grown ones in the tamal tree in our courtyard there in Krishna Balaram Temple. Now the thing about this Kadamba tree, is I've seen personally, the kadamba trees, they grow very, very, very slowly. So a huge tree like this is just, nobody can conceive how old it is. There's one tree right at the guest house gate where we started. There's a kadamba tree that was planted when Krishna Balaram temple started, and he probably didn't even notice it. That's how slow they are. Now the Vrishbhasi is telling me this one, as Maharaj explained, he's eternal, either from Krishna touching him or from Garuda putting nectar for both. Now the Vrishbhasis, they explained to me, I don't know, but they told me, you see how this tree eternally rejuvenates. You see how the old trunk has come down, another one has come up, another one comes down, another one comes up. Like this, eternally rejuvenates himself for 5,000 years, 5,000 years, whatever. Like that, this story the Vrishbhasis just told me. Now as long as we're talking about trees, you see the whole world of trees that are planted here. Most of these trees were planted one time, but because there's another, Kali is still here. In the form of pollution in the Jamuna. So part of the project was, we were joined together with WWF one time, and we planted all of these trees. Now we separated, but that beautiful garden we saw, that was also made by WWF in our Goshala. Now all of this, now I am pointing to this line of trees in particular. This is the month of Damodar. So you remember, Krishna knocked down twin Arjuna trees. It just so happens that these were all baby Arjuna trees, right here, this row. So if you study the leaves, these big, long, broad, pointy leaves, other places in Vraj, you'll see some nice examples. These are just baby ones. But this is the Arjuna tree. This is the type of leaf he has. This is a whole row of Arjuna trees here. And that village of Samark, just if we turned on the Prikama path to come this direction, you go the other direction 1 kilometer, then you come to that village Samark where that Subhari Muni was actually performing his tapasya. That village is still there. And Maharaj mentioned about leaving all of our material desires and everything behind and praying to this kadamba tree, because all of these trees are desire trees. And he mentioned about the materialists who come here. One time one materialist came here and he heard about these kalpavriksha trees. He didn't believe it. So he came to Braj and he went around and said, show me a kalpavriksha, I don't believe in this thing. So finally, way out in the forest jungle somewhere, somebody said, this is a kalpavriksha. So he sat there and said, all right, if this is really a desire tree, if this is really a kalpavriksha tree, then I'd love to have a big basket of sandesh. Big basket of sandesh appeared. He said, how about a big pot of gulab jamuns? He was a materialist, you know, so he only thought of his tongue. He said, all right, how about some puris and some paneer sabji? What about some samosas? How about some nice cauliflower pakoras? How about some nice tomato chutney? Like this. Oh, wait a minute, how about some rasgulas also? So all of these things just appeared. So naturally he began to eat this huge feast. And what happens after you eat a big feast? He ate so much. And he just fell down underneath that tree, lay down underneath that tree and went to sleep. And he ate so much he slept for a very long time. And when he woke up, it was dark. And he looked all around. And he became very frightened and he said, oh, maybe a tiger will come and eat me. And a tiger came out of the forest and ate him. So if you're not careful underneath these trees, these desire trees of Braj, then the tiger of material desire is going to come and eat you up. So we should all take Maharaj's warnings. He very sweetly gave us so many warnings. We should take all of these warnings to heart. Otherwise that tiger of material desire is going to come out of the forest and eat you up. Sri Kalyadaki! And just behind here is also a very, very special place. We were talking about getting the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Tiny place, so we can't go there. But this is the same place, anyway. Just behind this building is the Samadhi temple of Prabodhanand Saraswati, who has written this Vrindavan Mahima Mitra. So we can remember those verses, as Maharaj was saying, we should take all of this as nectar, because he says, Let thousands of thunderbolts fall on my head. Let me suffer in the heat. Let me suffer in the cold and rain without any shelter. Let 1,000 mosquitoes bite me and let me get malaria fever of 106 degrees. I still won't move one inch out of this Vrindavan. And if somebody tells me to leave Vrindavan, this is very important. If somebody tells me to leave Vrindavan, then I will cut out his tongue. So our FRO officer should be very careful. We have Shastra here. So just behind you is, he's the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he writes very, very beautiful books about Vrindavan and Sri Krishna and Radharani. Prabhupada Saraswati Guru Ki!